Hello, everyone. Welcome to another brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, once again, the main host and front man for the show, the Reverend Godfather. And yes, again, once again, I am flying solo today, or I should say this week, and I am drinking yet another Pepsi Fire, and if you hear a can opening being opened, that would be the Mountain Dew Kickstarter, or say Kickstart, that I have beside me. Well, put that there for now. Yes, one of the things I learned from last week in some of these solo shows, to let you guys a little in on behind the scenes, one of the things I'm starting to learn and realize is that I have to start creating show notes for myself, because I seemed to be a little bit all over the place last week, and I had to realize, like, hey, I gotta get my thoughts in order and jot things down before I start a show like this. So that's what I did for this week. One of the things to get out of the way, announcements. If you're listening to this on YouTube, please like, comment, and subscribe if you haven't already. There are times, even on YouTube, we get stagnant and just no one seems to want to listen. So please listen and engage with us. We do want to engage back with you, our listeners. And speaking of that, once again, I think I mentioned it last week, this upcoming June the 4th, we'll be having a interview with Nick Hunt, who will be putting out a full-length feature film called Safe Space, not to be confused with Adam Carolla's. I'll bring that up to him in our interview in about a week, because it's two different movies, two different things, but he's doing an independent movie. He's putting out his thing, and his will be dropped on June the 5th, and a hostful episode will come out a week later, and probably after that, any interviews and everything else that we got at the pop culture show at the Martinsburg Library, which will be happening this June 3rd, and if you want, come down there and see us, say hi. Good chance Matt Burns will be there, so you get to say hi to him, ask him about the RetroCon, the reboot show, that'll be happening in September, and get information about that. He'll be happy to tell you about that, so we'll probably be speaking to him about it as well. But first things first, I had it written down for later on, as always. You know what, talk about first, because it's currently in my mind, I saw it today. That was Pirates of the Caribbean. I think the secondary title for that is Dead Man Tell No Tales. It was not. I'll say this. It was better than the last one they put out a few years ago, but it seems to kind of take place, even though it's in story order or year order, meaning it kind of references and falls back on some of the things that happened. In the last movie, but it takes place, like, not so much 5 years later. It seems like, even though that they probably specify it takes place 5 years later than the last movie, I think it takes place longer than that. It tends to also, potential spoilers, it follows the story of Will Turner's son, because in I think it's Dead Man's Chest, the third movie, that him and Emily had, you know, the characters in that movie got married, well, and he fathered a son, even though he was cursed and so forth and so on. This takes place and follows his son finding I'm trying to keep this spoiler free, folks. He's out to find something that would help break his father's curse, because he is, again, Will Turner is on the Flying Dutchman ferrying the souls, you know, to the afterlife. So, and he wants to have his father back, even though he's now a young man, in probably in his early to mid-20s. So, that's the thing. But there is an after-credit scene. I mean, an after-after-credit scene. And we're talking about a credit scene that might be 10 to 15 minutes long, which for movies nowadays is about average, even though that sucks, that you have to wait that stinking long for an after credit scene. That might be not even a minute long, but the after credit scene focuses on the, hold a second here. Just looking up now, the person I'm trying to remember was Keira Knightley's character, Elizabeth Swann, and, you know, in essence, Will's wife, Elizabeth Swann, but in the previous movie, that secondary title was On Stranger Tides. So, but the post-credit scene is Will, Orlando Bloom, and Elizabeth, Keira Knightley, in essence, together, you know, it doesn't show any, again, this is a PG movie, if not a PG-13, there's nothing really hinted that there was something celebratory going on, just that it's a peaceful night asleep. Will seems to wake from a nightmare, and in that nightmare, you get the hint of Davy Jones. So it's kind of hinting, this is what I've been hearing about in reference to the Pirates of the Caribbean series / saga, that you had the first, that in essence the movie was going to be two trilogies long. You had the first three major movies that dealt with Elizabeth Swann, Will Turner, and Captain Jack Sparrow, and this particular movie or trilogy is supposed to fill that gap between, meaning movie 4, which was On Stranger Tides, was to fill that gap between what's going to happen, or what's happening between right now in Dead Man's Chest. And the final film should be the one that's coming after this. Overall, it was the better movie. Again, Stranger Tides seemed a little bit weak and a little bit lame. Not totally lame, but it kind of wasn't on par with the first three movies. But granted, the first three movies weren't overly the greatest anyway. But, and there are some people that say, alright, the first one was kind of cool, and the remaining two were kind of just sucky, and the fourth one was suckier than the rest, the other three. But this seems to be on the upswing, upside of things, so I don't know if there will be a sixth movie. Because I think even Johnny Depp in this seemed a little long in the tooth, meaning he's starting to show his age. The person who played a young Johnny Depp in this, or the young Captain Jack Sparrow, was awesome and looked great. But there, I missed the days of, I think it was the third movie of Depp going, I got me a jar of dirt, I got me a jar of dirt, you'll never guess what's inside it. up until that, I had that just playing in my head, and I might just be getting Big Candy when he comes into the Daily Grind studio this upcoming Tuesday. But that was cool seeing the little bit of backstory. The flashback was done well. But it kind of made a loophole, because, like, oh, the dead men, you know, tell no tales. But then again, the dead men are telling a tale. So it was good, but it was kind of, it's a summer popcorn flick, that's it, with pirates. So that was kind of cool. But let's get on with the show. Next up, I'm going to do talk about real quick because Big Candy is not. I don't think he's a fan. He doesn't follow it. He's not as big fan as I am. And we don't have Zombie Bunny in studio that often recently, you know, to talk about it and get her side of things because I think she's about the same level of fandom I am when it comes to Doctor Who, meaning we're fans, but we're not fans. Like, you know, we'll go around, you know, with a sonic screwdriver prop or toy, something like that. But we'll talk about it or something along those lines, and we kind of follow with the news. Right now, the current season has started. From what I've been hearing through the grapevine, ratings are kind of down a little bit. And I kind of believe it because I think Stephen Moffat, I think that's his name, he's been dragging things on for the past 10 years. And it's starting to get stale. Because, like, last season it was, okay, here's part, what seemed like a single standalone episode with an overall story arc that you'd see in Supernatural, which we'll get to in a moment, or your favorite TV show, whether it be Empire, Arrow, or what have you. He kind of did that, but it was going to be, okay, this week is episode, it seemed like a standalone, but at the end, it was like, stay tuned next week for episode 2 of 2. I'm like, oh, Christ, like I needed to hear that. You know, stick with the single episodes with an overall story arc. That's what I want to see. One of the things that's been happening with this, there have been so many damn leaks with Doctor Who. It has been disgusting, even though there was a leak in regards to next season's Supernatural. Again, we'll get that into a moment. But one of the leaks was last season? Or the season before we got to see a female. For those who don't watch Doctor Who, let me explain things. Over the history of Doctor Who, the Doctor, who is the main person that the show follows, yeah, I know, he has a arch nemesis called the Master. And for the longest time, the Master has been played by a male actor. And I think this past season or two, it's been played by a female actress, or I should say an actress, which I have no qualms with. You know, it's fine, it's dandy, you know, it's taking things in a new direction, and why not? But it was leaked out, I think, a couple of weeks ago, even before everything started with the current season, that the Doctor, the Master, that the actor that played the Master in the early seasons of this rendition of Doctor Who will be making a comeback. And I don't know how and why. It would be nice to see him come back. I think he did a great job as playing the Master. But it'll be interesting to see that. It's always sad to see someone that was somewhat enjoyable playing this character, or any character. And one of the other theories that I've been hearing is that actor Tom, now this is speculation, in a lot of the fan boards for Doctor Who, there has been loads of, from what I've been hearing, speculation of who the new Doctor is going to be after Peter Capaldi ends his run at the end of the season. Depending on who you talk to, it's a little confusing, because in some interviews I've seen with Peter Capaldi, who plays the current Doctor, that his regeneration is going to be either the end of this series, meaning when the last episode, which I think has already been filmed, the last episode airs later this year, or it's going to be the Christmas episode that's going to air this year, because I think they filmed everything last year, and one interview I've seen with Peter, he mentions he has to film the Christmas episode, so it's kind of hard to say which year that Christmas episode is going to be, and when his the character's regeneration, yes, I'm using air quotes, on an Audible podcast, so we'll see about exactly when and everything else. Hopefully this is a better season. A lot of people have speculated, in essence, who was in the vault that the Doctor was guarding, and now everybody kind of knows, and it looks like a lot of people were right about that. Now, to move on to other news, season enders. I have not been, because of their extent, well, let me get before, back up, because I'm getting ahead of myself. The person, one of the people that they were speculating in regards to the next Doctor was Tom Ellis. Some of you might not know that name, but he is the person that has been playing Lucifer, or I should say Lucifer Morningstar, in the Fox television series called Lucifer. Now, granted, this show is, and I'm no way saying, hey, look, I'm a Satanist and all that, but it's the show in itself follows the DC / Vertigo comic that was out, I think, many years ago about the devil saying, you know what, I don't want to be the guy that, you know, everybody has to hate, so I'm just going to retire. I'm quitting my job as the guy, you know, ruling over hell, and therefore somebody else could take over. I just want to retire. I just want to relax and so forth and so on. I want to be my own person. And in essence, screw you, God. So, and that's what the show is based off. It's kind of a buddy cop flick. So in essence, the devil is doing his job, even though he's not doing his job. But it's a pretty good show. It's decent, but, and Tom Ellis kind of plays that interesting Lucifer character. I think I've said that before. But the reason why a lot of people have speculated that he's going to be the new Doctor is because there was a BBC promo out, I think a few weeks ago or a few months ago or something like that, where they showed all the Doctors, and they showed one Doctor who had his back, yes, I'm assuming a gender, so you can yell at me one way or another. You can always email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com, but the one Doctor that they didn't show a face for had his or her back to the camera, and a lot of people have said, hey, that when you do all the matching and the hairstyle, it's Tom Ellis. And everybody came out, even including Tom, said, yes, that was me. But because of the secrecy behind what, in reference to what those at the show do, I mean Doctor Who, keeping the next Doctor a secret, everybody, including Tom, has said, that's me, but I'm not playing the Doctor. And the evidence that a lot of fans are pointing to in regards to him being the next Doctor is that there have been instances where something has been said or on the show where it seems like someone who looks like a previous Doctor walks through the scene, or there's a cab that has a loosely misspelled, they showed a taxi cab that had the word TARDIS on it, but it was kind of purposely misspelled, so I guess they don't get in trouble, but fans go, look, see, or they have a few people with the TARDIS blue colors and so forth and so on. So they're, it's like they're hinting at something. But I am in the camp, I'll see it to believe it, and I'll do my research in regards to who might be the next Doctor when things get closer and closer to the wire, because I'll hear more and more news of who the next Doctor might be. But to now officially go on to the season finales that have been put out so far, I'll be concentrating more so on the CW type of deals, because I don't know if I don't think the season ender for Lucifer has aired yet, and I haven't been keeping track of Gotham as much as I should be, because even though I'm a fan of Gotham, they had a period of not airing any episodes for the longest time. It was, I think it was like 4 months. I think they had their last episode during the season break. It was like December, and they didn't come back until like late March, early April. So, and it's kind of hard to get back into a show when you have that big of a break. And I think that's also why you hear a lot of people saying, you know, ratings for Doctor Who are down, or these ratings are down. It's because of they're taking way too long of a break between one season and another, which is fairly logical. It has happened in that type of I should say it has happened before. And in the break that we had for Lucifer, because I thought since their first season was only about 13 to 14 episodes long, and this season, when they took their break, was about the same. So I figured, hey, it doesn't seem like a break. It seems like a season ender. Last season was about 14 episodes long. But it turns out, no, they're going to, it was two halves of a bigger whole. And again, to kind of reference our previous topic, it's one of the other things that fans are saying. He did that so he could film a few episodes of Doctor Who for next season, and therefore, at the next break for the Lucifer, so he could still be, you know, do two roles at once, he can, you know, during the break of Lucifer, film Doctor Who, and during both breaks, still go from one to the other. So, like I said, I haven't been watching Gotham that much. I got to get back into it. I'll let it either bank or wait until it finally gets onto Netflix before I see it. And one of my main reasons why is because of Hulu. And I'll get into things about Hulu in a little while. I'm kind of saving it for last. Next up is, I should say, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has always been kind of middle ground, not really great, not really, the best or the lowest. I like, what they were doing with, Ghost Rider and having him come back, and a lot of the reference that they were making in reference to, Doctor Strange and a few other things, but you still have a lot from, I'm not hearing it too much, but from what I've been hearing, that they don't want to have that, again, still that coexistence between the ABC series with the Netflix series and the movies. But I'm kind of starting to hear a little bit of the rumor mill that they kind of do want to, not fully talk about it, but they kind of don't want to talk about it. And they are, but they're not. So, who knows what's going to happen next season. We might actually have someone or a few people come in from the Netflix series as a either a walk-on or so forth and so on, even though that's going on. I want to see what's happening. So, the season ender was pretty good. I didn't expect it. I'm sure next season we'll get a few twists of what happened. Now, as per the CW shows, spoilers, 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 spoil, spoilers. Yes, I managed to keep Lucifer and Gotham spoiler-free because, yes, I've been watching or not watching, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I've been concentrating a little bit more, but I kind of kept it kind of quiet. But I've been paying attention with the CW shows a hell of a lot more, and the CW app has been graciously cooperating for the past few weeks. One minor hiccup, so I've been enjoying the CW shows a hell of a lot more. We had the ending with Legends of Tomorrow come up, and dinosaurs were in it. I should say, yes, again, spoilers. If you haven't figured out already, there will be possible spoilers, so just kind of fast forward a little bit with your MP3 playing device to see where the show stopped. Me talking about the show stopped. First up, The Flash. The Flash was, there were a few things that seemed to drop in reference to how the story has been going all season, but prior to the last episode, which aired, I think it was either this week or I think it was this week, that there was a possible switcheroo that Iris was not going to die, and somebody that will be taking her place. And a lot of people said it was this one particular character. It turns out they were right. And I was pleasantly kind of surprised to say, yeah, hey, they were right. Who knew? Sometimes this shit does happen. But it was a pretty good finale. A lot of talk is that with what happened in the finale, we might, like, with what happened between season 1 and season 2, we got once, because of what happened there, we got a brand new set of metas, and between what happened between season 2 and season 3 with Flashpoint, we got a whole new set of metas, and they're figuring that with what happened now at the end of season 3 and with the start of season 4, we'll get a whole new set of metas coming in. And it kind of, a lot of people have said that it kind of matches up with some, a storyline that was in the comics. They kind of rewrite it for their kind of use. They're mimicking the comics, but they're not mimicking the comics, meaning, for those who have been watching over the past several years in reference to The Flash, how they kind of summarized Flashpoint a little bit, but they didn't really go into too much detail. Kind of like what they're doing with then the season 3. Even though they, again, they dropped a whole mess of loopholes in reference to everything else. The twist in the past couple of weeks in regards to what has been happening in regards to Savitar. It was a lame twist, but still a twist better than M. Night Shyamalan Bing Bang has ever put out in recent years. That's including Split. Next up, Arrow, which I saw this past, I think the other night before I had to get up today. I'm recording this on Sunday, so I think I saw it last night, Saturday night. It was a great twist. Or a great cliffhanger, because you don't know who's going to be coming back next season outside of Stephen Amell's character. But, or however you say his last name, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it big time. But one of the things that I did get to see, Stephen seems to be this very cool character. Let's see, bring it up. Arrow TV series, so I get his name right. Stephen Amell. Again, Stephen, I'll probably tag him in when I post this up, so that way he can give it a listen. I don't think he cares about a little bit of a two-bit podcast like mine, but he seems to get on the topic of Stephen a little bit. He seems to push Arrow a lot. I think he goes above and beyond his duties for the character. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, is because everything he does, he's like, I play the Arrow, I'm the Green Arrow, I'm Oliver from the Green Arrow. So that's him saying, hey, I'm this character, I'm this character. And him introducing himself as that is great publicity for the show. And recently, he was on a charity event put on by American Ninja Warrior. For those of you at home, and if this is your first podcast, thank you for choosing us for number one. Number two, if you've been living under a rock for the past 10 or so years and you don't know what American Ninja Warrior or Ninja Warrior is whatsoever, let me fill you in. Ninja Warrior started out in Japan, again, roughly 10 years ago. And what it was, or is, it was a televised type of event that contestants, both male and female, have ran. It's an obstacle course that once one section is beat, they revamp it to make it harder. The more times it's beat, they're going to revamp it. The first section is a timed event, and it's relatively easy. It has different aspects to the course. The second part of the course is a little bit harder, but focuses more on the upper body strength, the torso, the arms. The last leg, is pretty much a tower. The third, it was a simple tower, but in recent years, because more and more people have beaten that tower, they've changed it and made it harder. And it's, when you see it, it's like, oh my God, if someone makes that far, God bless them. But because of its popularity being aired here in the States, they decided to do an American version of it. And it's still as challenging, if not more so. And more people in the States have embraced it, and a lot of people have loved it and appreciate it more than the old 80s show American Gladiator. But I think every year for the past few years, the American version has put on a charity event known as Red Nose Day. Again, this is something I'm not knocking whatsoever. It's a great thing that helps children across the United States with activities, food. It helps children who are in low-income areas get food and have activities and have a safe spot that they can enjoy those activities or get stuff that they need to help them learn more, grow, and be better at who they are and what they want to do. And something, again, I have no qualms about. The more the merrier. So, and in order to help raise money for this, the organizations and this charity group, they have a few celebrities on. And they for every challenge in the first leg of that course that they complete, a sponsor, this year I think it was Eminem, donates $5,000. So if they a particular celebrity beats that one little course block or that little obstacle, they donate $5,000. Now, the two sports celebrities that they had on this year beat it, no problem, no help, because they do have a trainer to help them with the course a little bit. But being sports celebrities, it was like nothing for them. The actors and actresses that they chosen, they kind of tapped out, had some fun with it. Like, I don't think I can beat this particular part of the obstacle course, so therefore I'm tapping in my trainer. The trainer would do it, but because the trainer did it, no money was donated. But there were a few celebrities that, I still want to do it, I want to try it, and God bless them. It was fun to watch them do it. But the last person on the docket, or I should say on the to air on the show or go through the starting gate, was Stephen Amell from Green Arrow. And he went through this like a champ, and as a way to say, for all those out there who don't believe that I can do this, or I've done stuff similar to this on the show, this is me doing it. And my God, you know, what a sport, what a person that wanted to take this and run with it. And it was like, all right, let's see if I can do this. Oh, watching was like, wow, this looks great. I'm going to try, you know, he looked at like each one as a challenge. And I'm going to take it on. I'm going to, you know, move forward. And he did it by himself. He didn't tap out. And when he said, you know what? He literally turned to the commentators in the show and said, can I do at least one more and continue? And he did I think it was the pull-ups that he tends to do in the show, which is the bar when he gets up, when the person gets up, I think it's the ladder pull-up or whatever it is. I think he also wanted to continue to see how far he can go, but I think the people that were putting on the show said, we don't have enough time for you to go through each additional challenge that we have here to offer. So they just let him, they're like, all right, you got to come down. We don't. But I think there was a part of him that wanted to keep going. And I wanted to see him go through the entire damn course to see how far he would actually get to. Would he be able to get to that final tower to get up to that and ring that bell or hit that button? I'm not trolling Stephen Amell. I'm not. But it would have been fun to see it, because he was like, this is a great challenge. I want to see how far I can go. And again, I would have been like, dude, go, do it. I want to see, go, have fun, Mary. I can't do it. You have fun. You look like you're having fun. So, God bless him. And in everything he's done, he seems like he's, hey, I'm from the Arrow. He's having fun, promoting the show, doing his own thing. And that, like, he's been on the WWE a couple of times. I think it's because part of it shits and giggles, so to speak, that I've never done this before. I want to do it. Can I do it? And people are like, okay. And he's having fun with it. You know, let him have some fun. And if he's promoting the show well and putting the show in a good light and helping ratings with the show, I say, you know, go with it. But who's going to come back with the Arrow, so to speak, next year? Because we've seen folks, help me out at home. Deathstroke made a comeback on this final episode. He was hinted at last week. And my God, it was the same actor doing this fabulous job. A lot of people have said, I want to see a show with him on it now, or that's primarily about him. You know what? I don't think it would hold up, but I wouldn't mind seeing the more of a reoccurring character of the aspect of the yes, you know, kind of the aspect of the good guy, but also the bad guy type or ordeal. Meaning the classical type of, I don't know what the trope is called, but it's the aspect of that he's not really he's the good guy, but not really the good guy. But it's what they're going to do with, Christ, hold on a sec, folks, gotta do my research. It went a little bit faster than usual, actresses, Danielle Pennebaker, who, in essence, actress that plays Killer Frost / Caitlin Snow, pretty much because in the comics that Caitlin / Killer Frost is now more so a good guy, but a superhero now. She made the transition from villain to superhero, and is working towards the aspect of doing good. They might have that character in Flash be that kind of finding herself, that she's going to be kind of the anti-hero. That's the word I was talking about, the trope that I was talking about. Kind of the anti-hero for next season, for the most part, while she's while the character, quote-unquote, finds herself. To move on. Supergirl. There seemed to be a little bit of the aspect of... Again, this season ender for Supergirl seemed a little meh, but to kind of spoil it, I think the put my drink all the way over there. I think the next season's bad guy or gal is going to be Doomsday, maybe. It was nice to see the show's version of Killer Zod. I want to say Killer Zod. Zod, and having the season in essence bookmarked with Superman at the start of the season and Superman at the end of the season. So, again, this show, this season's going to be renewed along with Arrow and Flash for next season on the CW. I think it's done very well on the CW, which is always nice to hear and see. And rumor has it is Kevin Smith wants to direct a few more episodes, so who knows how that's going to turn out. But it just was a fizzle of a season ender. But as I've told a few people, Supergirl is more, it's a good show, it's a great show, but it's more, I don't mean this in a bad way whatsoever, it's more girly. It relies more so, there's stuff for the guys to watch and keep them hooked, but it's more so for the girls. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's a great show, it's a nice show, but it's girly. It's a fun watch, it's an interesting watch. And let's see, I think Kat, who was in the first season, the big devil wears Prada type boss, makes her appearance again in the final episode, and it seems like she knows the secret identity of Supergirl is, which is Kara. So that was kind of thing, because I think her line, Kat's line was, "You get him, Supergirl," and kind of like she always knew about it, but she didn't want to really tell that she knew. So in essence, so far, even though we have Supernatural coming up next for me to talk about, but in reference to the superhero genre of episodes, or the superhero heavy episodes, the CW has been learning. Literally, they have been learning over the past several years, starting with Arrow, that even though Smallville was a success and a very long-running kind of teen angst drama, superhero type of thing, that fans were kind of upset over certain aspects of how the show went and treated things. I was one of those type of people, but they learned that, and they made that aspect of let's fix it, let's see what works, let's tweak it better and make it better. They left a lot of the angst and what would be the girly stuff for Supergirl. That's not a bad thing. That way they could balance, they put it a little bit more towards, let's make it the girly, angsty stuff towards the Supergirl, give her that aspect, but also empower her, and they found that balance, so it's not totally misbalanced or bad, and they found that CW has found that mix, and I'm glad it's not in the hands of, I think it was NBC, in their first season, or CBS in their first season. Yeah, it was CBS, which I think CBS made it way too female angsty type of ordeal, and too many hits towards the CW. Now, CW, it's in the CW hands, and they were able to balance everything out just the right way to keep, to bring in the male demographic a little bit, and yet still keep the women watching, which is a good thing. Very good thing. And I've been enjoying this season. I've been watching, and if I'm not really groaning over it, meaning, oh dear God, I don't believe how they're doing this, it's pretty good and pretty balanced that I don't really care that much about it. But to continue on to speaking of shows that have that little bit of a that I won't say cater to the female viewership a little bit. I'm not, again, not saying that's a bad thing. That's Supernatural. I know Big Kenny's going to be a little bit mad because I'm further along keeping up with Supernatural than he has. the reason why I say it kind of panders to the female demographic a little bit because here, it's one of those things that, Supernatural is one of those shows that's kind of like, the deodorant secret, that it's strong enough for a guy, but it's kind of maybe made for a woman. And something that I don't mean in a bad way whatsoever. I know Big Candy's probably listening to this cringing, but, there are instances where I think that a lot of people have agreed with me. There have been instances where it's kind of, they do things to keep the, like, way Supergirl is made, that it relies more so on the female demographic, and it does stuff to keep the men, guys interested in watching it that might be watching with their female partners. The Supernatural tends to do the opposite. Here's a show that's probably meant for the guys, but they do a lot of stuff to keep the women interested in this show. I could see that, I understand it, and yes, I'm aware of it, but I'm not complaining about it. Supernatural had one hell of a ending. It kind of gave the aspect of the Stephen King's It type of ending with the final look and what they've been going, kind of going over in the main story arc over the past season. We had the this particular season ender, there were two deaths, two main characters dying, and folks sitting at home that have made it this far, no, it was not Sam, and no, it was not Dean. It was two other characters that a lot of us know, love, and enjoy. One of which has said that I am, and I'm kind of paraphrasing and quoting at the same time, I'm not coming back, period. End of story. And a lot of folks, including the producers, have said, in a way, you're welcome back. We're happy to have you next season. And he's turned around and said, no, I'm never coming back. Even though it came off wrong, but how he's mostly phrased a lot of his statements regarding him leaving the show, it came off as neutral that, in essence, if his plans, I think the reason why he left is because he was starting to get tired. Like most people who have been on a show a very long time, they get tired with it, and I think they might have a lot of other projects lined up for that reason, and want that change of pace, and that is what he did. So because he likes the fan base. This particular actor likes the fan base, likes the show. He went off with a bang, and with aspects that he didn't really burn the bridges behind him. And the way the producers and the executive producers have made their statements in regards to, he's always welcome back. So in essence, that if things don't work out with him, he's always welcome back in the show. And the way the show is usually set up, who die in the show don't really stay dead. And speaking of that, the other character that I'm talking about is, yes, it's Moesha or Misha Collins, who in essence plays Cass on the show. Again, I said spoilers. I started spoilers, so don't yell at me out there. He was the second character who in essence, quote unquote, died this season finale. But in a recent article, it was Jared Padalecki. The person in essence plays Sam on the show while at a convention in Italy. I think it was Sam, or I should say Jared, saying they asked him about what's coming up next season, and they asked him about the Scooby-Doo episode, which is going to be airing next season, which I'm excited to see. He said, his words were, yes, we just got done filming it. I had fun. The whole cast had fun, including Melissa, who plays Cass. And when he realized, he said, he let out a secret, which shouldn't have been said yet. He went, oops, I shouldn't have. He pulled, in essence, a Hagrid. He went, I shouldn't have said that. I didn't, you know. He kind of tried to, like, I don't think I was allowed to say that. I shouldn't have said that. So forth and so on. So, in essence, Cass, looks like Cass might be coming back next year. But it was a great episode. We'll see exactly what's going to happen with this Nephilim or whatever the heck it is. My guess is that you're going to have this teenage character, or maybe an adult, depending on what's happening over the break and how they start season, the next season with, that he might be an adult, but have that kind of that childlike mentality about him, because he's not fully at that, I mean, he's got the powers of an angel or a demigod or a god, but he doesn't have, he still has that child aspect of, I don't know what I'm doing, how should I do this, and that's probably why we're getting a Scooby-Doo type episode. Also, coming out next month, those are my thoughts so far. It was a good season ender, very, you know, kind of, not so much a cliffhanger-ish, but it was a we did get a chance, here's another spoiler for Supernatural, we did get to see Bobby again. We haven't seen him in a couple of seasons, but we got to see him briefly in this season. But it's not the Bobby you kind of know, but it was a Bobby. To kind of move on, next up I want to briefly mention is on Netflix, we are getting a Castlevania. It's a show going to be based on the, I want to say, a game that initially came out on Nintendo. It's, the show is in essence called Castlevania. I haven't seen any secondary title for this, but it's coming out in event. On Netflix this upcoming July 17th, I think. So, I'll be checking it out, and from what I've seen, it's going to be an animation type of ordeal, and it's in the anime style. Let's see here, I'm getting pinged a lot. Hold on a second, folks. Again, sorry about that, folks. Just something I had to briefly take care of. But Castlevania seems to be that Japanese anime or Asian animation style. And I say that because they're, to say strictly if it's Japanese animation style, or because we have a lot of stuff coming from that part of the world, that it's either from Korea or China or the Philippines that has the same style. But the reason why a lot of people call it the Japanese animation style is because that's where a lot of people have, you know, where it came from prior. So to me, saying that is also wrong. I should be using the generic anime style. But that's what has been out or coming out on how it looks. It looks great. The reason I'm happy to see that it is an animation style, because there's a lot of things that they could probably do with the animation or the anime style that they probably couldn't do live action, or probably if they want to do certain things in reference to how it should be done, either special effects wise it'd be too expensive, or where it could be too gruesome that it wouldn't pass for any particular censors. But somehow they'd be able to scoot by certain things in regards to it being animation. So I gotta pause this again. And that seems to be about that. Sorry for the pause for one thing. I thought I would have had more to cover. I will be watching Castlevania when it comes out. I still have a lot of other shows that are on Netflix that I want to see. The final season of From Dusk to Dawn I have to watch. I've been starting Better Call Saul. I'm power watching the first two seasons. Yes, I know season 3 just came out, but I'm enjoying what I'm seeing in reference to Better Call Saul. That seems to be about it for now. So stay tuned for next week. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Stay tuned for next week's episode with Nick Hunt and the interview with that. Hopefully it'll be a great interview and a great conversation. Folks, I know I was about to close out the show and give you all information, but I almost forgot one last thing to cover, and that was a Hulu. I promised you guys in reference to what was going on with Hulu. A couple weeks ago, they updated their app to a new type of style, and my God, does it suck. It's one of the reasons why I won't say I've been missing Supernatural and not really caught up on a lot of my programs that I normally watch, because they tried to fix something that was not broken. And I mean that because the way they had it was the same way as, or similar style to what the CW app had, which means when you select. What they used to have was, and I mean Hulu, not CW, that when you signed into Hulu and to your particular profile, what you were watching, or the shows that you were watching, the new episodes were front and center in your line of sight and ready to go, which means if you watched Elementary, Gotham, The View, or American Idol, or what have you, they were front and center and ready to go when there was a new episode. If they didn't have a new episode, they weren't front and center and ready to go. The revamp is now this kind of I won't say techno style, but it's kind of this weird mishmash and of colors, and it's very hard on the eyes. And everything's like, oh, you have to pin this, you have to pin that, you have to pin this, you have to select this. What do you want to see? What do you want to see? This episode's here, this episode's here. It's just the show. Let's watch from episode 1. I don't care about episode 1. I don't care about episode 1, season 1, or episode 23, season 1. I'm right now on season 10, episode 20. That's what I want up front and center. Most of the TV shows that I had already ready to go that would have been ready on the old Hulu app settings and everything else are now gone, literally gone. And people had, when I initially, that the changes were made and put out there, I went to, in essence, to tell Hulu my thoughts on their Facebook page, and my God, everything that was on that page was hate, 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 hate. And it was all saying the same thing. And it was pretty much, what the fuck did you guys do in reference to this app? Why did you do this? How come it looks like this? The app acts like a piece of shit. Why did you do this? It sucks donkey balls. All these comments similar to that. Because I have a week trial, change it back or you're losing a customer. There are other comments saying reference to that, the fact that if they don't change it back, you're not going to have any more subscribers. You know, you're losing me. This was a reoccurring thing that people don't like this. And there was not one response from Hulu in regards to why this change, why this new look, why they were doing this, and there was nothing in regards to, hey, we made it look like this because it looks better on a tablet, or it acts better on a tablet. Who cares how it looks like on a tablet or a mobile phone? It worked great on what it was and where it was. You didn't need this techno smacking in the face with the new style. When you have hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of users that don't like what you're doing, it's different from what we said in a me and Big Candy said in a previous hostful, that it's only a 0.0004% of your total base that hates, you know, something that's forcing you to do something you shouldn't do. This is when you have maybe close to 10%, 30%, maybe even as high as 40% of your subscriber base going, in essence, what the fuck did you do? You fucked everything up. You're, in essence, making me re-go back and re-bookmark everything, redo everything, reset everything up in order to... It's like we had everything the way we liked it and we set it up. Now you're fucking things up. Change it back. And there's no word. And in regards to their movies, there's a lot of independent movies that are on Hulu that when you go through the new style, they don't have, you have to click on it and, I mean, you have to go through submenu. In some instances, I think you actually have to hit play to see, if that particular movie came before another particular movie. And that too sucks because the way some indie movies are named, it's not really so forth and so on as like, Shark Attack 1 or Shark Attack 2 and Shark Attack 3. It's, Shark Attack. Shark Attack The Force Awakens. Shark Attack Revenge of the Force. You know, The way they name it doesn't really have a sequel number attached to it. It has a different title. And if you have people that are wondering about these movies and they want to see them in order, the app is not helpful at all. And it's making the app harder to use than easier to use. And you're going to probably see a whole mess of more and more people shying away from Hulu. And I know there's a cord-cutting nation out there. A lot of people cutting the cord, they might go to, instead of using their consoles or their computers, they might be going directly to the station that has the programming that they watch, meaning they're more than likely to go to the CW app or the Fox app or apps similar to it to get their content than Hulu, and save their $10, $12, $15, then go to, you know, and use that $12, $15 and use it on the CBS app, which they charge for the content for that particular channel, which, again, that's a different thing. I might bring that up during our hostful because I think, you know, I want Big Candy's opinion because he's a cord cutter as well. The fact that, you know, here's where you have places like Fox, the CW, I think AMC does the same or something similar, but you have channels like Nickelodeon, CBS, and I think maybe one or two others that in order to watch their content on their particular app and their website, it's the premise of give me $12 a month or give me $10 a month. Why? You know, it's that aspect of why. Well, you're cutting the cord, we need the money. But you're putting commercials on your freaking website and on your app to support that. And you want us to pay us more money, pay you more money, where with the business model that Hulu was, it's, or is, that you have a freemium type of content where you might have a 45-minute show and maybe 10 minutes worth of ads. And with the $10 level of payment, which is their first tier of payment, is instead of getting the 10 minutes of ads, you get 5 minutes of ads. Then you have the $12 payment, which eliminates ads altogether. Then you might have the $15 level, where you get no ads, and plus you get, I think it's Showtime or Spike or something like that, or Epic, or whatever the HBO equivalent that it has been partnered with Hulu. So, fans are the consumers are the ones that should be driving the market, and there are instances where businesses should be listening to the fans and their customers, and they don't, and some of the stupider stuff that they shouldn't be listening to from the fans, they listen to. And I'll get into that with Big Candy on Tuesday. If you like, or if you have a different opinion and want to join in the discussion, you're more than welcome to email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com and weigh in on your side. If you want to ask questions, you're more than welcome to do that. We will answer your questions on air at the next hostful, or if I get a lot of email in or messages in, I will make a special episode concerning all those messages. So that's our email. Yeah, you can questions weigh in on specific topics that we mention on a weekly basis, or if I do a solo or a host based, you could always, again, email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. We do have a Facebook page that you're more than welcome to like and or subscribe to if you want to do that sort of thing. It is facebook.com/the Long Coat Mafia podcast, and you can message us there. We tend to post a lot of what's going on show-wise on that page. So if there's a time that we will not be posting on a Monday, but on a Tuesday, for whatever reason, you will be first notified there. Then we'll probably... than probably any other social media out there. Plus, we do live videos every now and again on our Facebook page. And again, you can also message us there and weigh in on whatever we said in a particular podcast. We also have a Twitter account, which we're starting to use more and more, and trying to cut back on the aspect of promoting a lot more, which we should be doing, or balancing out a little bit, promoting our weekly episodes, as well as holding a conversation. Our Twitter handle is Longcoat Mafia. You're more than welcome to engage us there and direct message us there. We do have an Instagram account, which we try to post every so often, if not daily, and that handle is also Lone Coat Mafia. We do have, as I said before, we kind of do have a YouTube channel where we have the unboxings of our loot crates and plus other things that we tend to get in. And as well as, I know recently we had the Pepsi Fire tasting. And I'll probably be doing another tasting shortly because I got a Mountain Dew Black Cherry type of ordeal, or it's kind of promoting itself as a kind of a Dr. Pepper type of taste, and I'll be trying that soon. I'll probably be posting that up to YouTube as well as Facebook. So just search on YouTube for Long Coat Mafia Podcast and we'll come up. We don't have that many subscribers to change it to official YouTube.com/Long Coat Mafia. So you're more than welcome to watch our loads of our videos that we have up there, our unboxings, not to mention some of our podcasts are on YouTube as well, so you're able to listen to us there and what have you. Speaking of listening to our show, we are not only found on iTunes, or if you use a Apple mobile device like a iPhone or iPad, we are found on, again, iTunes or the Apple Podcast app on your Apple mobile device. But if you don't use an Apple mobile device, we are found on Google Play Music, because both iTunes/Apple Podcasts and Google Play Music only go back about 20 or so episodes. You can listen to our full archive of interviews, panels, creepypastas, SCP readings, and so forth and so on our main website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. So, go there, listen to everything. This upcoming end of July, starting July 30th, will be Podbean's Podcast of the Week. So if you have an idea of a epic show we can do that will drop that week, please email us, message us, get in contact with us. That way we can do something epic that week that would really showcase our show. Yes, you could be involved in that. That seems, now I'm pretty much out of topics. So, I do thank you guys for tuning in and listening to us for a full hour and change. I have nothing more to say right now, so who knows what's going to happen. So, again, catch us next week for our Nick Hunt interview. And I know I'm pushing it, so I got to push it. He wants to be on our show. Also, our next hostful will be dropped the week after that. And again, we'll be at the Pop Culture Show at the Martinsburg Library this June 3rd, so come on down. Not to mention September, we'll be at the Retro Pop Culture Show, 4-State Retro Pop Culture Show, the reboot in Hagerstown, so we'll speak to Matt about that. So again, take care, folks.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.